Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
So in my college years, I was a hall director, and I was a resident assistant, and I was in a public college, so obviously there was a lot of activity there. And it seemed that when I was in college, there really wasn't much time that I was ever alone, because any time that there was any free time, someone would do something, and there were just people all around me all the time. And there was a lot of activity. By the time you do the sports, and you do the studies, and you do the social things, the trips, and all the events, plus times with friends, it just seemed like I was surrounded by people all the time. And then going from that to seminary was quite a change, because all of a sudden I found that about 9 o'clock at night, everybody was asleep. And I was wide awake wondering what was going on, because it was very different than my experience in college. Now, what I tended to find is over time that there was an emphasis in seminary on silence. And when you are silent, and when you are reflective, and when you're able to pray, then it helps you to be able to have this good pattern in life where you're going from your prayer and your work, or you're going from your rest to your activity. And that pattern helps to keep you well-formed in the faith, because you've got a little time to reflect on what happened, to be able to reprioritize, and to kind of put God's plan and His will for you in His life into action. If you're just doing activities, then you're not thinking or praying or discerning where God is leading you. And if you're only praying, then you're not putting it into practice. So I think the Benedictine approach here is like prayer and work is really kind of the pattern of life that they project, not only in their service, but it's reflected even in the gospel that we hear today and the way that Jesus worked with His disciples. In my first year, my first summer, and in my second summer, I spent in Tijuana. And it was the vocation director asked any of the seminarians if they wanted to go and to work with the Salesian priests and volunteers doing these different construction projects, working with youth groups, and teaching, playing soccer with the teenagers. And anyway, it was just this idea. We'd build an outhouse, we'd build a church, we'd build a field for sports, and the idea was to have a bit of a community in these poor areas or colonias that they had in the outskirts of Tijuana. And so anyway, when the opportunity came, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do that. Sounded like fun. And so I was a little surprised that no one else raised their hand, you know, but anyway, so I went my first year, and then the second year I figured that, well, I can't do it again because someone else is going to have that opportunity, but no one wanted to do it, so I went 2 years in a row, which was great. But what I found is when I was in Tijuana, it was like I was back in college again, because I was just surrounded by all this activity and all these people once again. And there was one point when I was missing the quiet time that I used to have, and I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the chapel, because if I go to the chapel, I can pray and kind of get some quiet time with the Lord. So I go into the chapel, and probably 5 minutes in, there's about a dozen people. Mike, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. We got stuff to do. You know, so it didn't work. At least when I was there that summer, it seemed like I was right back at the state college again. Now, the reason why I bring this up is, again, it has to do with that pattern that we see in the gospel today. Because Jesus sends His disciples out. Notice He sends them out two by two. So we're not lone rangers, but we're supposed to do it in a particular community. But He wants us to put our faith into practice in some particular way. He has a particular mission, He has a plan for us, and He sends us out into the world to try to accomplish that. And then after a while, it's good for us to come back, and He also wants us to rest. Now you'll notice that when the disciples came back, they were excited. They were talking about all the great things that the Lord had done. And I understand that. I mean, one of the greatest things about being a priest is that I get to see the Lord working in the lives of so many people. I see many great things. I see it in the teaching of the young people. I see it in the healing of the sick. I see it in the praying over people who are in need. I see it in the conversions and the forgiveness and the lives of people. And I just see it where people are kind of getting their lives together and really living the way that the Lord calls them to, which brings them great peace and joy. And then sometimes you just see miracles and all kinds of things. So there really is so much to talk about in these particular experiences. But then again, if we never take the time to pull away and to rest and be with the Lord and consider what he has done, to thank him and praise him for that, and then ask him, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go now? You know, well, then we're going to miss out because we're just going to get stuck in that loop of activity. Now, there is another aspect to this that you'll notice that they didn't get much rest, right? They were on the boat with the Lord, and they were getting their quiet time, their intimate time with him. And after that, Jesus could see that as soon as they're getting ready to get onto the shore, that there is a mass of people. Once again, they've got all the activity laid out ahead of them. And Jesus saw them, and his heart went out to them. He had pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. All right, so this brings up another point. So when we think about the shepherd, who is our good shepherd? And I know you're probably thinking, well, we're in church, so we'll say Jesus. But, you know, we all have our particular ways that we seek care. And if we seek care in anything ultimately other than Jesus, we're going to be longing for something more. I was with my parents over the last weekend, and I've lived on my own for quite a while lately, and I'm not used to having a mother and father in the same house, but I noticed that my bed magically became made better, and little things got reorganized and moved around, and you know, just kind of these little things that you just take for granted. One thing is, it's definitely true, I'm blessed by the parents that I have. They love me, they care for me. But if you ask them, it's like, who is my shepherd? They wouldn't say, well, I am. You know, they would say, well, Jesus is, and we are acting on his behalf in this particular way. So if you're married, for example, if you've got good friends, if you've got good family members, whoever it is that you've got in your life that are good shepherds to you, they help you to receive the kind of care that you need, the quiet, good, compassionate, merciful care, then yes, they do that, but ultimately they're agents of God himself. And sometimes we are. We also, if we're going to shepherd others or care for others, we are being agents on behalf of Jesus as well. But it's good for us to recognize that we want the good shepherd to ultimately always go back to Jesus. So there are those times when we might feel that, you know, well, I want some self-love, and then it becomes selfish or it becomes sinful. And if that's the case, we're directing our desire for shepherding in something other than Jesus. You know, but if our desire is for God and his ways, then we find that we truly are lifted up. We're given the rest that we need, so we once again can regroup and be sent out to accomplish and do his will to the best of our ability. So I guess for this week, I'd just like to suggest that we look at that pattern and see how we're doing with that. So the first part is whether we are spending any quiet time with the Lord in our prayer, in our worship, in our Bible reading. And if we're not, maybe we need to kind of take a little more advantage of that opportunity wherever we might be able to do that. And then consider where it is that the Lord is leading us. So for example, maybe the night before or the morning that you're going to work or wherever you might be going, to think, okay, Lord, what is it that you want for me in this day? Where is it that you're sending me? How can I glorify you in the way that I live and in the way that I act? And so kind of keep that in mind. And then later when you come home, spend a little time reflecting. Okay, where was the Lord working in this day? How was he working in my life? And how was he working in the lives of others? You know, to kind of consider that. And then just offer a brief prayer of thanksgiving for that. Be overjoyed because the Lord is alive and well working in this world. And then the last thing is just, once again, it's that getting caught up in that pattern of prayer and work. You know, the spiritual life that we have as Catholics is a very great blessing that we have. And we can be good shepherds to others, but we also have to remember to allow Jesus to be a good shepherd to us. And so it's the pattern of work, prayer, and allowing Jesus to be truly our good shepherd.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.